In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. We'd like to start off our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the mother of the church. Mary is the mother of God, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to be with us today. And we'll pray the prayer that she loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. So together, let's pray the Hail Mary. Ask Mary to give us a greater love for her Son and a greater pursuit of sanctification in our own lives. As we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director, the Holy Spirit, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit has many titles, many names. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler, as well as our counselor. The Holy Spirit is our interior master or teacher. St. Paul reminds us, with these words, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us light in our intellects, and to set our hearts on fire with His divine love. As we pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. So together. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So we welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, the family that prays together, stays together, how true that is. And to give you encouragement, I promise to pray for you in the Mass that I'll be celebrating today, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and to offer these specific intentions. First, I'd like to pray for all of us in this holy season of Lent, that we would make a concerted effort to be open to the Holy Spirit. And this could be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Our sanctification depends in large part upon our being open to the workings and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My second intention will be, I'd like to pray for all your family and family members, especially related to the gospel for today, the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters in our family. We ourselves can be considered prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, but we're trying to get back to the house of God. But many of our family members have decided to throw their lot with the pigs. We might even use that image, which we have in the parable of the prodigal son. Let's pray that our prodigal sons and daughters will not follow after false gods, but seek their true happiness in God. In God. My third intention I like to pray for those who will be dying today. Especially I like to pray for deathbed sinners. That within the next 24 hours throughout the world, people will be dying. Are they prepared? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? What can we exchange for our soul?" So those intentions all take place on the altar. So right now I'd like to jump to the gospel that we have for today. The gospel today we have is taken from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is called the Lost and Found chapter. We have three parables related to the lost and found. It's called the Lost and Found chapter. You have the lost sheep and the sheep that is sought out and found by the good shepherd. You have the lost coin that is discovered. Then you have the lost son who returns to the home of the father. It's called the Lost and Found chapter. The gospel today focuses upon the last of the parables. It's commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. But honestly, I believe we can call this parable also the parable. This can also be called the parable of the merciful father. The parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the merciful father. So, we just learned that Amalia's mother, Anita Sanchez, was called last night at 7:70 p.m. They just finished praying the Chapel of Divine Mercy when she took her last breath. Well, we'll pray for Anita Sanchez, and what a beautiful way to die by having her family members praying for her and praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Just that we're aware of this, that God promised to Saint Faustina that when someone is dying, if someone prays the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, that the Lord, in His infinite mercy, will intervene to save that person. So we might thank God for the fact that she was able to be surrounded by her loved ones and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy being prayed. So we'd like to offer our condolences, but thank God for the grace to be surrounded by loved ones in prayer, especially the prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So we'll thank God for taking her in that moment. God knows what is best. God knows what is best. So let's take the parable of the prodigal son and let's walk through it. Now this is a parable that we've heard many times, but we should try not to be jaded and just take it for granted that we already know this and we want to move on to something that's more exotic or different. No, let's try to go deeper into this. This is probably one of the most famous stories in the history of the world. So a father has two sons, and the youngest son asks his father to give him his inheritance. So the father gives to the son his inheritance. Now what happens is this young man goes off to a foreign country, leaving his father's house. And What he does is he's got his so-called freedom. And he's got his money. So what he does is he goes off and he squanders what he has. On his own pleasures. But what happens to him is that he basically runs out of money and can no longer be living this wild life that he's chosen to live. So given that he's basically reduced to poverty, this prodigal son goes out and he's seeking for work so that he can sustain himself. So he finds work on a farm doing a type of work that would have been totally alien to the Jewish people. In a certain sense, a very degrading work. We can say that sin actually degrades us. It degrades us mentally, emotionally, but especially spiritually and morally. So there's a certain connection between the work that he's doing and the reality of the sinful life that he has abandoned himself to. So he's working on a farm, being paid very little. The owner of the farm or the plantation gives him the responsibility of watching over the pigs. Tending the pigs, what a degrading thing that was, to be tending and watching over the pigs. And he's not given too much to eat. So one day, he's looking at the pigs, and we see he's contemplating the pigs eating the pods, the husks that are thrown to them. And he longs to be able to eat and nourish himself, and he sees the pigs are nourishing themselves better than he actually is. Then he stops and he enters into himself, and what he does is he makes an examination of conscience. That's right, he's making an examination of conscience. He's rewinding his life. And he sees that there's a marked contrast between the way that he used to live before he left his father's home and now the way he's living as a result of him abandoning himself to his own passions and pleasures. And he calls to mind his moral, his spiritual, his emotional state when he was at home. He was with his father. His father gave him work. He had his own lodging. He had his own clothing. He was well nourished. He was respected. He was healthy. And now he sees himself reduced to abject misery. There in the farm, watching over the pigs and longing to eat what the pigs were eating. So he notices this marked contrast. He's examining his conscience. How important it is for us to rewind our lives and to examine our conscience, especially in this time of Lent. And he comes to this conclusion. He comes to this conclusion that he will return to his father's house. And he will ask for forgiveness. And he will accept the fact that his father will just take him on as a hired hand, to give him a very low position there in the context of the family. So this is what he'll say to the father. He's already formulating his act of contrition. He's already formulating what he's going to say to his father. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But take me on as a hired hand. So he's kind of rehearsing an act of contrition that he'll say to his father, saying, I'm not worthy, just take me on as a hired hand, and that's enough. Possibly he was thinking in fear and trembling that maybe he wouldn't be received. But anyway, he was going to try it. So he gets up. He leaves the farm. He leaves the pigs. And he's heading on the path that leads to his father's home. Now the father has given this son liberty, as we all have liberty. He's given him freedom. Given him freedom. And, of course, he's, instead of using his freedom, he's abused his freedom. You might even imagine that every day the father really wanted his son to return home, but he respected his freedom. Maybe the father would climb up on the top of the hill and peer out to see if he saw his son returning. This day, that was the case. The prodigal son was returning, and during this lapse of time, the son has changed in many ways. Morally, he's fallen into degradation. But there's even a physical change in this son. He has lost a lot of weight. His hair has grown. He has matted, disheveled hair. He's got a long beard. When he left his home, he left in very elegant clothes. Now, he's in rags. Now he's in rags. So there's a marked contrast now between, and this is what sin does. Sin changes us. It makes us more ugly. It degrades us. It enslaves us. It dirties us. It makes us sad. It ruins us. There's really nothing good that comes as a result of sin. The devil promises us a lot, but really gives us nothing when we give in to sin. But we know what happens is the Father sees the Son from afar. Even though the Son is changed physically, the Father still recognizes the Son. The Father still loves the Son. The Father, we can focus upon the Father. The Father gives freedom to the Son. The Father loves the Son. The Father is filled with compassion. The Father is filled with tenderness. The Father is merciful. In all the attributes of God, the greatest of all the attributes of God is His mercy. And what happens is the Son sees the Father and is about to rehearse his act of contrition, and it's almost as if the Father does not hear the Son. The Father embraces the Son, and the Father forgives the Son. We have a loving embrace of great mercy. My friends, in a certain sense, God is the Father. The Father is God. And the prodigal son, my friends, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter is you and me. My friend, I have to apologize to you, but today I have the 8 o'clock Mass, and it's already 8 o'clock, so I'll be placing all of you on the altar that God would bless you most abundantly. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.